Greetings, brethren, and happy Sabbath to all of you here and to those tuning in via webcast and call-in services. It certainly is an honor to be back here in Columbia with you all, giving God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, the glory on yet another beautiful Sabbath. Brethren, due to what seems like insurmountable sufferings, and by sufferings I mean sufferings in the broad sense, basically, I'm putting tests, trials, physical ailments, persecutions, all under the umbrella of sufferings. That either our eyes have either seen, our ears have heard, or witnessed firsthand throughout the body of Christ over the past few years. I think about the great amount of prayer requests that comes in concerning physical ailments, or the imminent threat of religious persecution, such as what our brethren in Angola went through for a period of time, but subsequently was allowed to resume Sabbath services following their appeal in God's intervention. I would like to be cautious of how I equate this topic of suffering, because I'm not saying that all suffering that we experience has a spiritual connection, because some things we do inflict upon ourselves. In other words, we have no control over such things like natural disasters. But what I am saying that is suffering does have a purpose in the life of a Christian. And today I would like to touch on that topic of suffering and how it relates to the inner man. Brethren, when I refer to the inner man, I am referring to the spirit in man. Job 32:8 in the King James Version says, "But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding." According to the Brown Driver Briggs definition, this word spirit can refer to the soul, the spirit, or the mind. In the New Testament, Paul writes, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him?" I would like to read to you from an article entitled "The Spirit in Man," January 24th, 2011, that you can find on the UCG website under the Bible Study Tools tab. Quote, "The spirit in man imparts aspects of the human mind, including self-awareness, intellect, creativity, personality, and temperament. Everything that enables human accomplishment and knowledge short of true spiritual understanding. It is this human spirit that imparts human intellect to our physical brains, creating the human mind. This is the inner man. The inner man, in conjunction with God's Holy Spirit, helps us to endure and grow as we experience sufferings in our lives. Out of curiosity, how many of you enjoy suffering? Or better yet, wake up every morning saying to yourself, oh man, I just can't wait to go suffer today. Chances are you don't. Now, by all means, I'm not the hand of God and I cannot speak on what He will allow. But I am almost certain that at some point, if you have not already, you will at some point in your life experience sufferings. It may come in the form of physical suffering, mental suffering, or other areas in your life, directly or indirectly. It may shock you, brethren, but you can read your Bible from cover to cover. You can memorize every scripture word for word. But if you never, ever experience hardships or sufferings, trials or tribulations, how on earth is the inner man being renewed? How is it being strengthened in areas of faith, obedience, trust, or patience, just to name a few? The inner man is the part in us by which we are able to recognize and grasp spiritual realities. By it, we make the choices that will lead to the fulfillment of God's purposes in our lives. My desire is that maybe this message can shed some light between suffering and strengthening of the inner man. So if you like titles, today's sermonette is entitled "The Inner Man, Strengthening Suffering." Brethren, if you would, please turn over to Acts 9 and 16, and let's see what Jesus Christ had to say concerning Paul. That's Acts 9 and 16. It reads, "For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Wow. Christ is sharing with Ananias that Paul is really about to go through some things. And why? Well, the previous verse breaks it down into a little bit more detail. He is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Now, I totally understand that our individual spiritual tasks may not require us to go before kings and presidents and emperors, but we are still yet commanded to bear fruit. Now, brethren, let me ask you another question. With such an enormous task set before Paul, was God's intent for Paul to be spiritually weak, full of pride, unsystematic, mind every which way? Well, of course not. Why would God allow Paul to go through the stoning, the hunger, the shipwrecks, and the thorn in the flesh that he talked about in 2 Corinthians if he was not trying to build up Paul? Well, I tell you, brethren, Jesus Christ was doing a marvelous work in Paul. He was strengthening the inner man with the might through God's Spirit. If you would, brethren, please turn me over to the book of Ephesians. Let's take a quick look into Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians 3 and 13, and examine what Paul's desire was in his prayer. That's Ephesians 3 and 13. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations, for which is your glory. You know, it was really to their benefit that Paul was going through those tribulations. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and the earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. The Complete Word Study Dictionary says this word inner, Strong's number G2080, as used by Paul in this particular verse, refers to the mind being renewed, strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Brethren, between the inner man being strengthened, that means you are growing. That means seed has fell on good ground and you are bearing fruit. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted, anchored, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Brethren, the inner man is where God's character is developed. It is strengthened through tests and trials and sufferings. Sufferings give us a chance to react differently. It gives us a chance to swim against the current, to do the impossible, allowing the Holy Spirit to strengthen the inner man, wherefore a godly reaction occurs. It gives an opportunity to ask for God's will, even if it's against our desired outcome. And in the process, via the sufferings, we are growing stronger in Jesus Christ. Let's look at Paul's mindset in 2 Corinthians 12 and 8. The 2 Corinthians 12 and 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, that inner man, then I am strong. What? Hold on. No way, stop the press. Is there some type of reverse psychology going on in play here? Surely Paul isn't insinuating that there's a level of gratification or pleasing desire in all the infirmities and the persecutions and the reproaches, which any way you look at it can be put up under this umbrella of suffering. But brother, that is, believe it or not, that is exactly what I'm insinuating. If God was not building up the inner man of Paul, yet at the same time crucifying the flesh, then how could he make such a statement? Here is a prime example of the outward man perishing and the inner man being renewed. Has it ever occurred to you that a big part of strengthening the inner man is first recognizing that it is weak? And we cannot make it without God's Spirit. You know, as I was preparing this sermon, I thought about Mr. James Ellis, who many of you had the pleasure of knowing. And in the process of dealing with his illness, I often wondered how many times Mr. Ellis showed up to the Sabbath services in tremendous pain, yet sung aloud with such a strong voice, and quite frankly, he sung with the voice of about 10 men, rejoicing and giving God praises and song. You know, the few times I got a chance to speak to him towards the end of his life, he certainly displayed the character and strength of that inner strength that I have come to greatly to admire, that only God could have built up in him, and his focus was constantly on the kingdom of God. I compare suffering to that of fire. I'm sure you think of many others who can exemplify great strength and also in their inner man. You never know how strong the inner man is unless you go through suffering. Two great characteristics of fire is that it helps to strengthen and purify. I know in my line of work, fire is used to remove moisture and castable materials, but it also serves as a strengthening agent, and it also acts as a purifying agent. And spiritually speaking, the tests, trials, and suffering that we go through for the sake of the kingdom serves as that fire sometimes. From a personal perspective, I believe that there have been some times that I prayed for healing about some physical suffering or financial jam that I was in, and God would look at me and decided, you know what, this is a great opportunity to teach this young man some patience. And I accept that as hard as it can be sometimes. But besides, well, now we need patience in the kingdom of God as we work with others in God's plan of salvation for mankind, or perhaps make it easier to relate to other brethren as they go through something of similar fashion. At the moment, present moment, no suffering is enjoyable. On the contrary, it's quite unpleasant, and it can really push you to the limit. Yet nothing is compared to the glory that Jesus will reveal to us later. We sing a hymn entitled, All Things Work Together, and the chorus speaks volumes. It says, all things work together. All things work for good. To God's loving children called according to his word. And that all includes sufferings, brethren. For it is building up the inner man. God is doing a tremendous work in the body of Christ by strengthening the inner man. Sometimes you may have to step back and pause for a minute. You may even want to ask yourself, is God trying to reveal something to me in whatever it is that you're going through? No matter the case, always consider and understand God is strengthening you for his purpose. And quite frankly, it starts from the inside out. So do not lose heart in your suffering, for the outward man is perishing and the inward man is being renewed. Last but not least, I am reminded of the words of King David in Psalms 138 and 3. In the day when I cried out, you had answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Question, what was David referring to when he made this statement? Could it be he was referring to the inner man? I believe so. What about you?